Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here again. And also let me welcome you. If you're new or visiting, my name's Owen. I'm the pastor of our Burwood Morning Service, and it's a great joy to be here to give this talk from the Bible. This morning we're continuing our series from on the Holy Spirit. It's a topic that may or may not be familiar to you, but I suspect it's foreign to most of us, and some of the ideas are probably new and strange. And we're actually in the middle of the series, and I hope that this talk itself will be clear and helpful. And I do want to give time afterwards. If you have any questions, I'm going to open it up to the floor. I'm actually going to give you a chance to reflect personally afterwards on what's one thing that has struck you, what's one question that has been raised for you, one question you want to ask, and one way you've replied it, and to help us maybe share it with the person next to you, and then I'll also receive any questions. So I think this will be a helpful way for us to engage on a topic that may be difficult. Let me pray for us, and let's ask God himself to help us. Father, thank you for speaking to us and giving us these words by which we can know you and by which we can know your Holy Spirit at work in each of us. And we pray that you'll help us to know you more deeply. You help us to know Jesus and what he has done, and that you help us to know your love for us and your passion for our holiness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so just a recap. So this is a outline of the series that we've been going through. We're up to number 4, the Holy Spirit and our holiness. We've looked at the Holy Spirit in the first week as the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not he's not a force or a power, but he is the person, the third person of God himself, third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit works through the words of the Bible to help us to know Jesus better. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit in prayer. The Holy Spirit helps us to trust in God's fatherly love for us so that we might respond to him in prayer. And today we'll look at how the Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. And I hope to explain what it means to be holy. It's not a common word we use today. And so what it means to be holy and how the Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. The word holy in our common usage is generally used in two ways. One way that people normally use the word holy is that we use holy to talk about a religious or a morally good person. Someone like the Dalai Lama we might call as a holy person or a holy man, religious or morally good. Second way we use the word holy, can anyone think of how else we use the word holy? We use it, well, hopefully we don't use it, but people use it as a kind of swear word or a way to emphasize an expression of surprise or excitement. It might be like holy bananas or holy any other four-letter word you might think of. And I looked up the Merriam-Webster dictionary and it says a similar thing. So connected, quoting it, connected to a god or religion. One meaning, another meaning, religious or morally good. And thirdly, used in phrases that show surprise and excitement. Holy, whatever that is. But you see, dictionaries aren't always the best source of meaning when it comes to understanding the Bible or biblical terms and ideas. And so it's important for us to actually read the Bible, read it in context, understand what it means, and don't assume that even a good dictionary will give you a good definition or understanding of of what it means, what Christian terms are. So to break it down, I want this morning to help us to understand these three things. So what it means, what holiness means, which is God's goal for every follower of Christ, for every Christian. What is God's, well, holiness actually is God's goal for all people, but specifically for those who follow him. So understand what that means. Secondly, I want us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in making us holy. And thirdly, to understand our role in our own holiness in response to what God is doing. So God's goal in our holiness. And it's very clear that this is God's very purpose for us. God, in making himself known, in sending Jesus, in dying on the cross, in forgiving our sins, and in adopting us into his family as his children, God's purpose from the very beginning, we're told, is for us to be holy. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So this is God's goal for us. This is God's purpose and God's passion for us in bringing us to know him. And just to make this meaning clear, holiness is not the two definitions that I read from the dictionary. It's not about being morally good or superior or religious. But holiness can be understood biblically in primarily two ways. One is in terms of our relationship with God, our position before God as his very own people. So holiness has a positional aspect, and it has a progressive aspect. Progressive in terms of God growing us progressively to be more and more like him. So positional, belonging to him; progressive, becoming more like him. So the first thing is positional. Positional holiness is about being set apart for a particular purpose or person. Holiness, from a positional point of view, is about being set apart for a particular purpose or person. I had a quick look at the crown jewels of the United Kingdom. As one of the most impressive, the most impressive collections of jewelry and treasure in the world. There are 100. Here's a picture of, I think, the crown of Queen Mary. But there's every queen was a unique crown was created for every queen. So that this is a crown belonging to Queen Mary. But the crown jewels are a collection of 140 historic objects and royal ceremonial pieces of clothing, ceremonial clothing. And within this collection, there's over 25,500 precious and semi-precious stones. It's a massive collection dating back over 300 years. And one of the stones is called the Cullinan the First. The stone in the middle there is actually the largest clear cut diamond stone in the world. It's over 500 carats, 100 grams, and it actually sits on the royal scepter of Queen Elizabeth, our queen, still she is, I think. And together with all the 25,500 pieces of precious stones, it's an incredible collection, priceless. It can't be measured, and it's you can actually go and see it at the Tower of London. You know, I'd love to go and see it one day, It's under armed guard in a vault over there, and it's incredible that, you know, the viewing public can see it. And I guess it's one way to sustain, you know, maintaining those jewels by getting people to pay for viewing. Because it, you know, it's not used very much otherwise, except on coronations or other royal events. But I want to say that these crown jewels are holy, and they're holy not because of their beauty or because of their priceless value. They're holy because they're set apart for a particular person and for a particular purpose. They're set apart for the king or the queen of the United Kingdom for the duration of their reign. So it's not personally owned by Queen Elizabeth or any of the royal family. They're set apart. They're holy for that person and for that purpose. And this is what it means for those who are God's people to be holy. You know, you and I, if you are a follower of Christ, are someone who has been chosen by God to be holy. And it doesn't mean that we are inherently good or morally perfect. In the first place, it means we've been set apart as precious to God and belonging to Him. Just in a similar way, you know, Caleb and Mike are my two sons. They're holy to me because they've been set apart as my very own children. They are precious to me and they belong to me. And in the same way, if you belong to God through faith in Jesus, you are holy to Him. And therefore you are already holy. And to be holy, another English word for holy, a holy person is a saint. Therefore, all Christians are holy and all Christians are saints. All people, all Christians belong to God and are precious to Him. It's a positional category. And that is what God has done as you have put your trust in Him. He has done it in a way that we don't deserve, but as you put your trust in Him, He calls you holy. He says you belong to Him. But then there's the second aspect of holiness that the Bible uses is progressive holiness. So now that you belong to Him, now our calling and our God-given desire is to live out our new identity. It's to live out our new identity as children of God. You know, we're no longer orphans. We're no longer outsiders. We now belong to God. So then holiness is, in the second place, living out what that means in our lives. And precious and belonging, growing to be more like God. And here Ephesians 4 speaks to us about progressive holiness. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, this is God's passion for us. Having been saved, having been made holy, we are holy. Now He calls us to be holy, to grow in our holiness. And holiness in this sense is growing to be more and more like God Himself. The God who reveals His goodness and His love and His patience and His justice in the Bible, in the way He relates to people, and most fully in the person of Jesus. God calls us to grow more to be like Him. And so we belong to Him positionally, wholly, and we grow to be more like Him, progressively growing to be holy. Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son or the lost son, the younger of two sons who comes to his father and he says, you know, give me all my money because I want to take it, I want to use it, and I want to go and I want to use it right now with no longer any part in my family. And so what? And Jesus tells of this younger son who basically wants to take his inheritance, and at the same time disown his parents and go away and spend it all in the way that he wants. And so he goes away, he spends it all. His family, his dad is obviously brokenhearted, but for some reason does what his son wants, gives him his share of his inheritance. The son goes away, spends it all, ends up with nothing, becomes destitute and hungry and desperate, and then eventually realizes how wrong he's been and decides to come back home. And when he comes back home, the amazing part of the story is that the father is actually looking for him, and he sees him in the distance. He runs towards him. He embraces him. He receives him, and he takes him back, and he has a feast to celebrate the son who was lost and who is now found. And he restores him fully in his place in the family. It's a story of complete and utter unconditional love and forgiveness. And when Jesus tells that story, that's a story he's telling of what God is doing for every single person in the world. That God's fatherly love for us is one in which he seeks lost sons and daughters to restore them back to being members of his beloved family. And that is what God is passionate about. God is passionate about bringing people back into his family. He's passionate about our holiness. He's passionate about setting us apart once more that we might be precious to him and belong to him. And as he brings us back into his family, his passion is also that we might grow progressively to be his true children, to reflect who he really is. He adopts those who were once outside of the family. He brings them back, and he's passionate about bringing us into an increasing likeness of his son, Jesus. Positional and progressive holiness. Now, the role of the Holy Spirit is this. The role of the Holy Spirit that God gives to his people is that the Holy Spirit's role, firstly, is involved in both aspects. The Holy Spirit sets us apart as holy, enables us to put our trust in Jesus so that we become children of God. And secondly, the Holy Spirit works in us, transforming us to become more like him, to be more like Jesus. We saw a few weeks ago how the Holy Spirit in us enables us to cry, Abba, Father, to call it, to know God, to trust in God's fatherly love. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit works in us with a desire to live out our new identity as the people of God. And let me just show you from a few verses in the Bible, a few that we've looked at before. So positional holiness. To God's elect. This is from a letter in 1 Peter. Peter is writing to Christians who he describes as God's elect, God's chosen, who having been chosen through the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And the sanctifying work of the Spirit is the verb for saint. It's the verb for making holy. So the Holy Spirit makes us holy. He sets us apart. So that's what he does. And again from Romans chapter 8, which we looked at a few weeks ago, by him, by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba Father. So the Holy Spirit brings us into the position of being holy before God, where we once more belong to Him based on His forgiveness. But then the Holy Spirit then works in us a new desire. A new desire. In which we want to grow to be more and more like Jesus. So progressive holiness. And we all who are unveiled. I think that's a bit of a typo there. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That is, Paul is saying there that we, once we couldn't see God, once we couldn't see His glory, now there was a veil over our eyes, the spiritual eyes and the eyes of our hearts, and that veil has now been removed. And now that we see God in His goodness, in His greatness, in His glory, we are now being transformed to be more like Him. So the more we see God, the more we know Him, the more we see His greatness, the more we want to be like Him. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. We are being transformed with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit. And so those who have put their trust in Jesus have the Holy Spirit not only setting us apart to be God's people, but working in us and giving us new desires, and those new desires grow us to be more and more like Jesus. And a great summary of what the Holy Spirit is doing is in Galatians chapter 5. So from the reading, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, if you have it there, let me read it for us. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the outcome of what the Holy Spirit does in us, the character that He transforms in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So those who belong to Christ, again, this is positional holiness. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified, put to death the flesh. The flesh is a metaphor for the old self, the old natural self, the old natural desires we once had. We put them to death with its passions and desires in order to put on the new self, which is described here as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this list of attributes, you know, without any context, it might just look like a great list of personal characteristics, you know, good moral qualities. And what I want to say is they're not abstract good moral. They're not mere moral qualities. Are separate from anything else. These qualities, this fruit of the Spirit, are a wonderful summary of the character of God Himself. They're a wonderful summary of the character of God Himself, in which we see fully in the person of Jesus as He came 2,000 years ago to reveal God in the flesh. So Jesus Himself came and demonstrated incredible love, sacrificial love, both for His enemies as well as for His friends. Even on the cross, Jesus said about His enemies, "Father, forgive them." Those who were crucified, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus showed incredible patience and kindness and goodness. And progressive holiness for the Christian is about growing more to be like Him. It's not merely about joy and peace and forbearance as good human qualities. These are godly qualities. These are Christ-like qualities. This is being like Jesus. in our hearts, in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. Quite a number of years ago, Michael Jordan, who's still famous, you know, one of the greatest basketball players in the world, and I'm sure Alison can come up and tell us all about him. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but for the sake of time, I won't get him to get up. But what I do remember was that he had a great jump, and he used to use his slam dunk to promote Nike. And there was this great Nike ad, and he would do this slam dunk, and the catchphrase would be, can you finish the phrase? I want to be like Mike. That's right. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. And that was a really great, really smart catchphrase. Who wouldn't want to be like the greatest basketball player in the world? I want to be like Mike. And you see, this is what we who have already been made holy as Christians, this is what our own desire is by God's Spirit putting that desire in us. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. That is the new desire that the Holy Spirit gives to each one of us. You see, because if you don't understand the fruit of the Spirit in relationship to Jesus, you might think that the fruit of the Spirit are these unachievable goals, or might be a burden, or just moral principles. But no, it's a desire God has given to us to be more and more like Christ. And we need to understand it not as personality traits. It's not just some people are more patient, some people are more kind. It is the fruit, the singular fruit of the Spirit with this multi aspects of a character that express love and joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness that reflect the character of God Himself revealed in His Son. And our motivation to be progressively holy is firstly that we already belong to Him. We are already loved. We are already positionally holy. We are already holy. We already belong. But our motivation also is that we want to be like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. The God who became man, the God who was powerful, the God who is humble, the God who is sacrificial, the God who is faithful, the God who is forgiving. And that is what God is passionate about, forming and transforming in each one of His people. And He does it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And even if you don't know, if you've never heard of the Holy Spirit before, if you are a Christian, this is what God's Word reveals. The Holy Spirit is in you, with you, setting you apart for God and making you more and more like Jesus with these new Christ-centered, Christ-reflecting desires. So the final question we need to ask is, what then is our role? What is our response? What is our role in our holiness? What are we meant to do? Well, the first thing is that if you're not yet a Christian, if you don't yet know Jesus, that's great that you're here. We're really glad that you're here, that you want to find out more. And I want to encourage you to continue seeking to know Him, to know the God who loves you through His Son, Jesus. But for those who do not yet know Him and who want to be holy, the first response is this, is to believe in Him, to know Jesus and what He's done, and to put your trust in Him. Because as you do, then you receive the holiness of God as a gift. You belong to him as you believe in him. And the Bible story is that we were all created in the image of God. We're all made for him. And that we all, every single person, have fallen away from him like the lost son. We've disowned God. But the good news is that God has sent his son out of his loving forgiveness. God has sent his son to bring people back to him. And as we put our trust in Jesus, as we receive him, what he's done, we become holy. That's the first thing, if you're not yet a Christian. But if you are already a Christian, what then is our role in our holiness? And I want to put it simply as this. It is to align ourselves, to align yourself to the new desires that you have already been given. To align yourself to the new desires that you've already been given. Let me read from Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In verse 20 and verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So, you see, we already live by the Spirit. We've already been given new desires. Without the Spirit, you won't even have the desire to know God or to please God or to live his way. But having been given the Spirit, keep in step with him. And our keeping in step with the Spirit will happen in the context of conflict. We're told in verses 16 to 17 in this passage that what the Spirit desires will be opposed to what our old self desires. It'll be in the context of conflict. But it will be on the basis of grace. Verse 18, those who live by the Spirit are no longer under law. That is, we live by God's unconditional love. But in the context of conflict, so it won't be necessarily be easy. But knowing God's love for us, we are to align, we are to consciously and deliberately align ourselves to the new desires that we have already been given. Align yourself to the new desires. And that's a great word. It's a great promise. It's not that you have to create new desires. You've already been given them. And we're just to align ourselves, to keep in step with the desires that the Holy Spirit has given and is leading us in. Yeah, like imagine a young high school graduate contemplating his next career move, wanting to work at I'm a smart guy, I'm likely to get 99. Whatever rating it is, TER, I can't remember what the current the UIA or whatever university entrance mark, I can do whatever I want, and I know what other people tell me what I want or what I should do. I should be a lawyer or a doctor or the highest paid, the most respectable profession. But deep down, I don't want to do those things. I don't want to. I actually want to be a high school teacher. I have a passion for children. It's not going to be the best paid, but that's where my passion is. And I know that at least two people that I know have actually changed career paths to be teachers. One friend of ours who's an accountant, high paid accountant, who's now a primary school teacher. Is it primary school? Yeah, primary school teacher. And she's struggling in that role, but she's pursuing that role because she has a great passion for that. And you see what she's doing is she's aligning herself to what she truly wants. Rather than to listen to outside voices, this is what you and I are being called to do, to align ourselves, to reject the other voices, to reject the old self, to say no to what once we did want, but was displeasing to God, so that we might align ourselves to what the Spirit wants, to make us more and more like Christ. And you see, when you do that, you'll have an ever-increasing joy and happiness in your life. And I believe that, because often we are conflicted, aren't we? We're conflicted with different desires, different values, different wants. And often we don't listen. Number one, we don't often listen to what we truly want. We're being torn by other people's expectations. But even more importantly, we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit wants, to what is pleasing to the Holy Spirit. Because what the Holy Spirit wants is the new desire God has given us. When we align ourselves to His desires, which is ultimately our own desire, our own new desire, we'll be less and less conflicted, more and more aligned, and we'll more and more glorify God by our keeping in step with Him. And we will grow in our shared joy in Him. And how are we to cultivate these desires? They don't just come from silent meditation. They don't come from doing nothing. They come. These desires have been given to us, but they're cultivated with the means that God has given us, through His Word, through prayer, through fellowship, through Christian encouragement, and then consciously in dependence on the Holy Spirit working in you to will and to do what is pleasing to God. Holiness is not necessarily an easy thing for the Christian. To grow to be more like Jesus is not easy. It is a battle. We do it in the context of God's unconditional love. But as we align ourselves more and more, we will grow in our joy in the Lord Jesus. And we will glorify Him more and more. And isn't that our own desire? To know Him more and more, to love Him, to glorify Him in our lives. Holiness is the great goal that God has for each of us, to be His people and to grow more to be His people. And God has given us His Holy Spirit to make that possible, to make what was impossible possible in us. And God calls us to actively align ourselves, to keep in step with where He is leading us, in prayer, in fellowship, in His Word, in our thought life, in our actions, and in everything, and in every part of our lives. And there's one specific way that this can be applied for each of us. There's always, in one sense, we can't work on every area of our lives that we know we need to work on to be more like Christ, but there is one step, one thing we can focus on, one area in which we can practically depend on the Holy Spirit. And here's some great advice from a guy, I think his name is William Hendrickson. Let me finish you with this quote on holiness. He says, get the principle right, that is, understand the biblical principle, understand what it is that God wants you to do. Think, reflect, pray. Seek to apply it in your life. And then be very concrete in how you do it. Be very concrete in how you do it. So I'll leave that for you as a challenge for you. And I'll come back in a few minutes to respond to your own questions and application.